भगवद्गीता 2.10 तमुवाच ऋषिकेशः प्रहसन्निव भारत सेनयोरुभयोर्मध्ये विषीदन्तमिदं वचः तम उवाच ऋषिकेशः. सो हियर तम रेफर्स टू अनटू दैट पर्सन अर्जुन उवाच स्पोकु ऋषिकेशः. सो इन जनरल in Sanskrit, the words ending with M are the objects of action and the words ending in H are the subjects of action. They are the doers. So here, the doer is Rishikesha and the person to whom it is done is Tam, that is Arjuna. So unto Arjuna, Krishna spoke. Prahasan iva Bharata. So, Bharata, here Bharata refers to Dhritarashtra. So, Sanjay is speaking, so he is drawing the attention of Dhritarashtra by referring to him by name. And he's saying, Prahasaniva. So, actually this screen, or rather the camera frame is drawn back. And the most significant thing that is conveyed by drawing back that camera screen is this expression of Krishna. Prahasaniva. And that actually is as if smiling. And actually there is a great contrast. It is not normally something that we expect a person to do when the person next to him is crying. The 2.1 is described, Tamtatha Krupaya Vishtam Ashru Purna Kulekshanam. His eyes were brimming with tears. So if one person's eyes are brimming with tears, we don't expect the other person to smile or laugh. Generally, we empathize with other people's miseries, and actually, it is quite an offensive, almost trivialization of another person's grief. If we start crying at that time, if start laughing at that time, sorry, just try to visualize if somebody has died and everybody is crying, and somebody else goes there and starts laughing. You know, it will not only be inappropriate; it will be offensive. So, of course, here nobody has died, but the prospect of, the horrifying prospect of dying is there. And Arjuna is in tears. And Krishna is his dear friend. And we may wonder what kind of friend is Krishna. And one friend is that the friend is crying and the other friend is actually smiling. So, Prahasan Iva Bharata, Iva, as if, like. He was like smiling. And Senayor Ubhayor Madhye, will come back to that later. But the significance is Senayor Ubhayor Madhye. So this contrast was something which actually was there for public view. Senayor Ubhayor, they are in the middle of the two armies. This phrase has come twice in the first chapter. First in 1.20 when Arjuna requested Senayor Ubhayor Madhye Tham Sthapane Achyuta. And then it has come again in 1.24. When Senayor Ubhayor Madhye Sthapayitva Rathottamam. So, in the middle of the armies. So, what is the significance of this phrase coming thrice? Senayor Ubhayor Madhye. So, actually, it is, first of course, it was a call for action. Okay, do take me there. So, it's a normal, maybe say, take me to the railway station. Take me somewhere else. That might seem to be a simple geographical direction. But then when it comes twice more, actually it conveys some significance. So this whole exhibition of emotions of Arjuna's overwhelming lamentation happened in public view. Normally, you know, when people cry, of course there are professional criers, mudalis, who may cry in public for everyone to see, and they get paid for that. But you know, grief is a very private emotion. Quite often, and you know, people generally don't want the whole world to see them crying. There may be some people who just want more and more attention. That is the exception. But generally, there's not too much emotionalism among cultured people, especially for Kshatriyas, to show tears. It's very rare. And so Arjuna became overwhelmed, and Arjuna spoke and cried in the middle of the battlefield. So it is a very unlikely setting for a discussion itself in the middle of the battlefield. But along with the unlikeliness of the setting, the Senayor Ubhayar Madhye emphasizes also the universality of the message, that this knowledge was spoken in public view. That means it was meant for everyone. Of course, not everyone was able to hear it, because the conversation was happening between two people on a chariot, and the two armies were facing off. So when the major battle in Kurukshetra happened with arrows, so when arrows are shot, the adversaries are not very close to each other. When there is sword fight or feast fight or mace fight, the adversaries are in touching distance. But the arrow fight, the adversaries are sufficient distance, significant distance at times. So now the others may or may not have been able to hear it, but others could actually understand that something very significant is happening. That Arjuna is almost on the verge of tears, and Arjuna has put aside his bow, and then he has sat down, and then he has folded his hands and surrendered to Krishna, and now Krishna has begun to speak. So what the rest of the army did is not clearly mentioned by the Acharya. Some people say that actually Krishna expanded time, but that's possible. Krishna can do that, but unless we have an explicit quote from the Acharya saying that, we don't have to necessarily invoke Krishna's capacity to do superhuman things at every occasion. So it's also explained by other authorities that just Bhishma raised his hand, and as long as Bhishma was the commander, in general both the armies were living quite did fight more or less virtuously, and so they were able to, they stuck to the principles of dharma. And that's how, when he raised his hand indicating to his warriors stop, so his warriors stopped, and actually the Pandava warriors also stopped, because their foremost warrior was in the middle, not yet fighting. And that's how the army waited. And the Bhagavad Gita generally doesn't take, if it is recited by people who are conversant and fluent in Sanskrit, then it doesn't take more than, it may finish in about an hour also, maybe at the most. For us, if we recite, it takes 3 hours or something like that, 4 hours, depending on the speed at which we recite. But that much time, the armies paused for the discussion to get over. So it was in the middle of the armies, Vishidantam, Arjuna was lamenting. So Vishidantam further highlights the contrast of Prahasanni. So when one friend is lamenting for the other person to smile, is question begging, what's happening? Idam vachaha, he spoke these words. So actually, the Acharyas described that the sudden change in Krishna's relationship to Arjuna was dramatic. A friend has suddenly become a disciple. So Vishwanath Chakra Thakur, in his deeply realized devotional vision, he envisions a conversation between Krishna and Arjuna, when Krishna says to Arjuna, but why are you surrendering to me? You know, you can go to Vyasadev, you can go to so many other sages, you can ask them. Arjuna says, no, I want to know only from you. You alone are competent to tell me. So a friend suddenly taking the position of a disciple is unexpected. And this is what, in one sense, is amused Krishna. How life can change things, how suddenly the position can change so drastically. But is it that Krishna is insensitive in smiling? He is not concerned about Arjuna's suffering? No, Krishna is really concerned. You know, it's not that when a patient is in pain, the doctor will smile. So the prahasan iva indicated he was as if smiling. So what it means is that a patient is sick and the doctor is concerned about the sickness of the patient. Doctor wants the patient to be cured. But as long as the patient is filled with one's own ideas about, okay, maybe this is the problem and this is the cure, maybe this is the problem and this is the cure, then the doctor cannot really help much. But when the patient submits, at that time, the doctor smiles because now the healing will begin. So the smile is not at the distress of the patient, rather it is at the opening of the door, which will lead to the end of the distress. So similarly, Krishna is not happy that Arjuna is suffering, and Krishna is not insensitive to Arjuna's suffering, but Krishna is as if smiling because now he will be able to relieve Arjuna from his suffering, and he will be able to share the timeless wisdom of the Gita to offer timely counsel to Arjuna. Prahasanniva. So Arjuna is as if smiling, Krishna is as if smiling, but Krishna restrains himself, and he felt like smiling to see this dramatic change, but he contained his smile because it would be inappropriate. You know, when a disciple goes to a guru and expresses some problem, if the guru just sinks at the guru just laughs at the problem, and the disciple's heart will sink. The disciple actually, for the disciple, the problem is very serious, and the guru also has to exhibit the appropriate level of gravity, not frivolity. And Krishna will appropriately assume that grave posture and mood, and will start speaking profound philosophy, which will actually remove Arjuna's grief completely and reinstate him in his determination. So the dramatic dynamic change in the relationship with Arjuna brings a smile on Krishna's face, but Krishna suppresses that smile and takes up the responsibility at hand of freeing a surrendered soul, a dear devotee, a close friend who has now become a surrendered soul, freeing that soul from illusion. How he frees him from illusion, we'll see in the narrative of the Gita, which we'll discuss in our future sessions. Thank you.